right, here we go, folks. Welcome. Power Hour. It's here. It's Political Monday. And this portion of our program of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by Kay's. Stop in, lunch, dinner, drink in the lounge. They are waiting for you at Kay's. Well, it is Political Monday. Let's bring him on. And joining us, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. And folks, again, just a quick reminder, though, before we bring out Justin. Between now and 2 o'clock, it's 107 on the East Coast. Between now and 2, someone's going to win a pair of tickets to see Phantom of the Opera at the PPAC. It's playing this week. For tickets, call 421 Arts. 421 Arts for tickets or log on PPACRI.org. Let's bring him on, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Say good afternoon and happy Monday to our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. Great to be with you.
Justin, a little bit non-political, but I would like to get your thought. This morning between 11 and 12, I had on the mother of Lauren Isay. Now, young woman, brutally murdered in her own apartment in Cranston last week, with her mom on in the 11 o'clock hour trying to raise awareness for domestic violence. Michael Barapisi, former boyfriend, is being held right now, charged with first-degree murder at the ACI. And what strikes me is, you and I have talked about, you know, all the testimony at the Rhode Island State House and anyone that's followed all of the hearings and much of the testimony, and you have people like Maura Jean Walsh and Anastasia Williams, and then some in the Senate, Gail Golden and Teresa Tanzi, and even Governor Raimondo. This nonstop theme about women and women have the right to their body and protecting women and believe women and really arguing we need to codify Roe v. Wade and extend it and blah, 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 and this whole big thing. And here you have a 29-year-old girl who is reaching out, who is calling the police. My boyfriend's saying he's going to kill me. Boyfriend's brother was arrested, pulled a knife on her. You know, calling the police. Something needs to be done. They even gave her money to relocate. And then what happens? He breaks into her apartment, apparently, while she was sleeping. At least that's what he's being charged with. And murders her. And it is silence from all of those female politicians. Justin, for the life of me, I don't understand it. All they're talking about is women and protection of women. And we need to pass this law to protect women, blah, blah, blah. You have a young 29-year-old girl who is screaming to anyone to listen. My former boyfriend is going to kill me. He has said he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. He's a violent past. And he's being charged with that. I want to be very clear to the people. He's being charged with that. He hasn't been found guilty of anything. But it is then silence from Raimondo, Nelly Gorbea, the whole crew, completely silent on the life that was taken of this young woman.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the particular circumstances, but it is in keeping with the habit of politicians is to never take blame for everything, never to be seen disagreeing with sort of the bureaucracy and the labor unions. And so it's not surprising that they would hedge when those sorts of things come to pass, because sounds like an actual problem where somebody might not have done all that they could, or maybe could have done more. And to acknowledge that and to come to the defense of all women in that regard is to suggest that something's not right and we actually need to fix something practical that government should be able to fix.
Right.
Whereas things like abortion, and these are just things you trot out there to rack up, you know, the quote, women's vote. And to play identity politics. And you see this across the board nationally and at the state level. The solidarity among women for the progressives tends to end where their political interests end. So whether it's a progressive woman who's being attacked or a woman who's the system has failed, it's not a politically convenient story for them.
That's a good way to put it. Speaking of politically convenient stories, Friday afternoon, boy, what a surprise. St. Patrick's Day weekend on a Friday. Governor Raimondo announces something that would have seemed inconceivable to many people, but that Rhode Island has upped its relationship with Deloitte. I think something that is not covered enough is the fact that Deloitte all along had maintained their lobbyist, who is former Speaker Bill Murphy. But Justin, as much as Raimondo could try to make this argument that, you know, Deloitte took ownership and we're going to get this tremendous deal and all this other money, it is, I cannot believe that we're continuing a relationship with this company that caused so many problems, that to me was just perfect demonstration of lack of execution, lack of judgment, and yet there it is, you know, the classic Monday, Friday afternoon dump of news before, you know, St. Patrick's Day weekend, that Governor Mundo announces we are, in fact, continuing with Deloitte.
Yeah, well, what came to my mind when I saw this was it reminds me of all those instances where some, you know, TV investigative reporter or somebody catches a government employee doing something they shouldn't be doing, whether it's a, you know, weightlifting disabled firefighter or somebody in DOT sleeping on a job or whatever it might be. And then either nothing ever happens or they're allowed to retire gracefully or just move on with their lives. And what you hear from the elected officials is, oh, that's the best way to do it. We're doing what's right for the taxpayers, because it would have been litigation forever, and it's better we just move on and we've settled the problem and now we move on. And that's the feeling I get from this is, you know, we're not going to challenge Deloitte because, you know, it's a really, really complicated system and I don't know who else could possibly do it. So we're going to keep paying them. But it never seems to dawn on them is the importance of fostering an environment of accountability. And that's the real problem here. And once you spot that problem, you start to see little details. Like they're talking about how Deloitte is giving the state $50 million in cash, and that's a first-of-its-kind settlement. But then it turns out that we're only really expecting $34 million because the federal government's going to take the rest. And, oh, by the way, what's the cost of this contract? What does Deloitte get at the end of this contract? About $35 or $36 million.
That's right.
Conspicuously very close amount of money that the company will get for doing the work that they should be doing pretty much under a warranty, so to speak. And when you see this kind of thing over and over again, it does give you the sense that there's just no accountability. The Chafee administration okayed, and then the Raimondo administration completed a task that never should have been done. We never should have put together this. They keep touting it's the most complicated system of its kind in the country. Well, you know, we're a tiny state. We don't need the most complicated system of its kind. And they're perpetuating that. And that decision was a bad one on our part. And now we're continuing along that line. And it does make you wonder, you know, if you have a contentious fight, like a lawsuit, sort of like we saw, say, with 38 Studios, where people are fighting to get money, suddenly stuff starts to come out. And it does make you wonder what might come out about the implementation, the concept, and the design of this system with the input of Raimondo and Chafee and everybody beneath them, Elizabeth Roberts, and so on and so forth. All these people, their correspondence, the decisions they made that helped to bring about this terrible decision will become public if there's not an amicable separation of the parties. And so it feels kind of like that standard, typical Rhode Island cover-up, where we're just going to move forward and we're going to, you know, they're going to give us some money, which we're going to give right back to them. And by the way, don't we have this cool new system, which is still not performing up to what it's supposed to be doing? And then I think voters and the people and taxpayers deserve more accountability and more insight into what's really gone wrong.
I think you're right. Anything else strike you of, see, to me, you know, Raimondo trying to sell this as somehow we're getting a good deal and on the upside, Justin, there's no way. There's, as you said and point out, how much money they're going to get at the end. There's something about the whole thing that, you know, Deloitte, to me, just strikes them as they recognize that the governor's taken some kind of a PR hit, but all in all, like, however this needs to be framed, kind of like a good cop, bad cop, paint us as the bad guy. You can be the good guy. You're striking this tough deal on us, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, I mean, they're just still going along, and it's just so much money for a system that was, to me, Justin, I just don't think there was ever full accountability with this mishap and what took place.
Oh, no, certainly not. And when you mentioned the amount of money, I should have looked up before I called in, but I'm trying to recall how much money the UHIP project was supposed to cost at the beginning. And I think it was more on the order of $100 or $200 million. So you've got to say, call it $250 million project at the beginning, and it balloons into $600 and something million, and they're giving back $200 million in free services to get the thing actually up and running. It seems to me like they've made a pretty good deal off the taxpayers of Rhode Island and the federal government, which has funded more than half of the project.
When one last thing about this is, do you think also in some way Governor Raimondo has benefited that, let's be honest, when you hear UHIP here, Deloitte, I mean, I hate to say it, but it is kind of become white noise because for so long it was in the news and blah, 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 and everyone knew about it. But I just think at this point, sometimes it's like if you just kind of wait it out, that it turned into really like a one-day story on Friday that she re-upped with them.
Yeah, well, at some point people stopped paying attention. I mean, if we had a real hard-nosed press in Rhode Island, they'd have been following this system all along. I mean, there's still, I run an index for the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity that uses national data for the SNAP program, the food stamp program. Rhode Island is still the only state not reporting this basic enrollment information to the federal government. So there's still problems going on with this, and we never hear about it. Instead, what we get is the Raimondo administration hires one of the Providence Journal's reporters to be a PR person on her staff. One of the people covering this stuff, one of the people who was digging into this. We're not getting that kind of reportage, and so it starts to lose interest. People are still, I mean, I'm sure most people, who, even if they caught wind of this, went, oh, that's still a thing? I didn't realize that was still
right.
A thing.
Yes.
And meanwhile, you know, Deloitte's a national company. Raimondo, the whole UHIP system was part of a national progressive movement to expand the way we do and the way we hand out welfare benefits. And so now that's implemented, and there you go. I suspect we'd even have less news about it. It would be less noteworthy if we still had a progressive president, because then it would be even more that the state is going along with what the national progressive movement wants to produce in Rhode Island.
I think you're right. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. It's Political Monday. We're speaking with Justin Katz, who's the managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, it was last week again. Two elements to this story. One is Governor Raimondo had a big gathering at the Rhode Island State House, and I think the picture kind of captures it well. Raimondo pitches expanded free tuition plan to House panel, and they position, I'm going to hold up to those on Facebook Live, position her where she's kind of looking, the students are literally used as decorations for her to then stand there, and she feels she wants to go forward. But the part that really struck me was Governor Raimondo was on Greater Boston. I played some of the audio of this. That's on each weeknight at 7 o'clock, hosted by Jim Browdy. And she went on Greater Boston, and Mike Rea, who used to work for her, who left, he worked for Jim Browdy at WGBH. So he has a strong connection. And Jim Browdy, who I happen to know, but he literally, you can tell, is reading Governor Raimondo. Greater Boston is on each weeknight at 7 o'clock on Channel 2. Jim Browdy is literally reading questions that you can tell someone emailed him, gave to him. And I get they all have producers and writers and so forth. But I'm just saying, it just seemed very, very obvious. It wasn't, again, it's a Rhode Island governor. He's having her on. He said they've interviewed her before. They're fond of her. She's a female, blah, blah, blah. But what was interesting to me was two things that she talks about in the interview that she likes to highlight, Governor Raimondo, is number one, she made the announcement on Greater Boston that Rhode Island is number one in the country with pre-K education. The other thing she talked about was the importance of free college tuition. What really jumped out at me, Justin, was to me that a strategic buy Team Raimondo, they don't want to get into K through 12. K through 12, as you and I both know, is a disaster. The test scores are terrible, embarrassing. So instead, you know, you have pre-K, you have K through 12, which is really important, and then you have college. She ignores the K through 12 and wants to focus on pre-K. That was news to me that Rhode Island is number one in the entire country with pre-K education. And then she stresses the importance of free college tuition. That is very strategic. We're not going to focus on the area that they have, to me, completely failed in, which is trying to improve K through 12. Instead, let's focus on free tuition, which doesn't really come into test scores so much. It's more of a concept to me. And then pre-K, to me, also has become a big progressive buzzword of, yeah, you know, let's start the education earlier for these young kids and single mothers and the importance of this. So, number one, I'd love your thoughts on she wants to expand free college tuition, saying Rhode Island College, and strategically trying to focus all attention on her ideas on pre-K and free college tuition.
Yeah, well, it's one of those, it's hard to know where to start with this one because it's such a big topic, and I didn't know that about the Michael Rea connection to that.
Oh,
interview.
Yeah, he had worked with Browdy.
It was funny. Yeah, over the weekend, he was going after, I think, Brandon Bell of the state Republicans for talking about that interview, and Rea attacked Mayor Fong, and Kathy Gregg from the Providence Journal retweeted it and said, former Raimondo spokesman, and I kind of had to wonder, is he really a former, or is this
right?
We know he went on to a firm that's now working for the state, and he was supposed to have this wall of separation in order to avoid revolving door laws, but that's a side issue, I guess. The whole thing with this push, and I think you put your finger on it, noting sort of the black hole of K-12. You can only do so much in that area, and we just today the governor announced that Ken Wagner, the education commissioner, is moving on to a nice concession job at Brown, I believe, and we're bringing in a new education commissioner. But one of the big things with Wagner is he couldn't implement any of the reforms we need to implement because the labor unions are just too strong in the K-12 space. You're just not gonna, Raimondo's not gonna touch it because that's where there's some real live wires, politically speaking. So what do? You focus on before that, which has the nice added benefit that you're going to add new labor union members to the teachers' unions, sort of like every time we tax, toll, or borrow in order to fund more construction, we create new union jobs for the laborers' union. Here, pre-K creates teacher jobs for the union. And the evidence broadly across Canada and the United States so far has been that universal pre-K actually has a negative effect overall, because what it does is some kids do benefit from it, but it also pulls kids away from healthier environments. So maybe mom or dad doesn't stay home with the kid, which is really healthy, but they work, which is nice, but then the child has a worse outcome several years later. And when you cycle that through a large group of people, universal pre-K is not a good program overall. And then you get to the other side where we're giving free tuition, and essentially what we're doing, if you look at things, anecdotes and data about the number of remedial courses that college students need to take in order to catch up to what they didn't learn in high school. Essentially, what we're doing is secretly extending our high school into college by giving free tuition so that you can catch back up on the work that we weren't able to teach you when you were in the public schools. And that's a lot of the strategy here. And it's also a big misdirection away from where the problem is, because nobody's seriously thinking about addressing those problems.
That is exactly right. And just to touch on, and again, folks, good afternoon. So Ken Wagner is leaving. He's going to be going to a think tank at Brown University. So Governor Raimondo is bringing in someone who was a finalist in Massachusetts, Angelica Infante Green, Latina, first-generation American, champion of English language learner. And we're going to hear how great she is and dynamic she is. And Justin, all of that may be true, but none of this is going to matter if, in fact, it's, to me, unless there's fundamental change, and I don't see how there's going to be as far as the way the teachers' unions operate and the problems they have within the school. To me, this just starts to become putting a different jockey on a dead horse. This woman who, again, you know, very impressive. And seems, you know, certainly if she was a finalist in Massachusetts to be education commissioner there, certainly, you know, has all the right elements. But if she's not given the freedom to really try to change the system, I think you're just going to see what happened to Deborah Giss, which is they wear them down. They start the protests. They get the students involved. And, you know, they want the input. And they buck back on the system anytime anyone ever really tries to try to make reform.
Oh, certainly. But what concerns me even more in this case is a lot of the selling points for the new commissioner are she's going to focus on, you know, English language learners, so students who don't speak English very well. And I've seen the word equity brought out a lot. The problem in Rhode Island is we're not adequately educating the main body of our student body.
Right.
All those kids in the middle from you know, struggling up to superstar, those kids are not learning what they should be learning, those students. And we're, once again, it's this theme. We're not looking at that. Instead, we're going to focus on equity and English language learners. And that helps with our identity politics. And if things don't go wrong, you can say, well, this is a really tough problem we're trying to solve and nobody's having any success. All the while, we're not addressing the key problem, which is that our schools are not teaching students, the main body of students, whatever color they are, from that the kids are just in the meaty part of the bell curve, they're not learning what they should be learning, and we're not addressing that problem, because that's where the teachers' unions come in and are really, really causing the problems. And so then we get these gimmicks of free tuition and so on. And I really wish, you mentioned earlier the rally at the State House. I really wish the local news media would sometimes, every now and then maybe, explain to readers how those 60 students from Rhode Island College all knew to be at the State House at that time wearing
that's
the
right.
same T-shirt. Because this is a major push from unions and from progressive activists and from Democrat politicians
yep.
like the governor. And news media is exactly on board with it. It drives me nuts. The article in a Providence Journal was by Linda Borg on March 12th, talking about how great this program is, how enrollment is up in the Promise program at CCRI, how graduation rates are great at CCRI. 3 days earlier, on March 9th, Linda Borg published an essay on how all of the enrollment's down in every single one of our public colleges and universities, including CCRI. Yet that didn't make it into that article.
No.
So you can tell we're in the grip of an intentional movement that's being very carefully controlled by people who have a lot invested in increasing the government's touch on education of students.
Not only that, but just the photo captured where all the kids were told to stand in a certain spot, and then Raimondo takes her spot where she's going to stand. It's so choreographed, and they do try to present it as if the students are rising up and how positive it is for them. But there's no way, Justin. This is all organized. It's all choreographed. Everything becomes, you know, the picture of everyone neatly spaced together on the stairs, holding their signs, and it's all done for that. I also want to touch on, do you feel right now, the Journal did an editorial today on what Ken Block brought out, which is the kangaroo court of the Labor Relations Board. But Justin, he wrote about that last Sunday. It was published. Last week, silence. Governor never responded to it. No one responded to it. Providence Journal writes an editorial today about it. But I don't see anyone else talking about it. And I mean, no other media picks up on it. I don't see any politician talking about it. It's as if the governor saw it, shrugged, and doesn't have been any intention of changing the makeup of that labor relations board, which is important, and it is a kangaroo court, and it is completely a rigged game. But it's almost starting to be that, and this is nothing against Brandon Bell, the Republican Party that I respect and try to support, but it's as if right now there's no opposition, and basically they can... You know, this is the ultimate inmates running the asylum. They can do whatever they want, and maybe you get a little bit of people squawking. But other than that, just it's full blast, full steam ahead. The election is over. She got reelected, and she is just moving ahead. And if somebody wants to object, write something, whatever. Like, we're not stopping.
Right. Well, and we're seeing that kind of honesty born of confidence. Lately in Rhode Island.
I agree.
It's generally known. I mean, I have some experience now. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to... I wanted to also just mention the education commissioner. Again, one of the things I just had glanced and was seeing is the words that are really being highlighted are state's first Latina female education commissioner. To me, again, it's all about... the politics, let's have the first woman. Well, she's not the first woman. She's the first Latina education commissioner. It's all about identity and being the first in something. Asumco was the first female head of the state police. This woman's going to be the first Latina. Those credentials seem to trump any other type of education experience. It almost seems like let's not just get an education commissioner. Let's not even get just another education commissioner. Let's make history as the state's first Latina education commissioner. I'll give you a chance to follow up on both.
Oh, well, that interacts interestingly with what we were talking about. I mean, it is about image, right? It's about here's how we're going to present this in a way that looks like we're doing something innovative, and we're not actually addressing the key problems. And at the same time, as you said with the Labor Relations Board, it's almost like they feel free to just to acknowledge or ignore anything they don't want to talk about. You know, they've got their talking points for their constituents, the people who actually care about the sex and race of the education commissioner. Those people aren't going to challenge the
Justin? Oh, I'm not sure what happened, folks.
He seems to have faded out. Let's see if he calls back. I'm not exactly sure what happened. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're almost done. But let's see if we get Justin back and if he calls back in. And while we wait for him, and if not, then we're going to move on. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Not exactly sure what happened. Phone went dead. Let's see if he calls back. And if not, line went dead. We will move along, but he was just a mid-sentence. Oh, I see him. He's going to join us momentarily. And folks, again, just a quick reminder about whether it's lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge, stop into K's, Cass Avenue Soccer. All right. Here he is back.
Justin, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but you faded out, but just continue right ahead with that point.
Oh, well, I was just pointing out that that when it comes to the identity politics of an education commissioner, that's the selling point for the constituents of the people in power, the governor and so on. When it comes to something like the Labor Relations Board, where it's well known that management faces an uphill battle getting a fair decision, then, you know, that's not something they don't really care about the optics of that, because their constituents are either on board or paying more attention to the education commissioner.
I agree with that. And just lastly, to follow up on, I get the feeling, and as I've been saying, something that I don't know if enough people have picked up on, but a truce and deal has been cut between all the union representatives and the progressives. And that is a new dynamic. First of all, the progressives are a new dynamic at the State House. I don't care what anyone says, they are. You have the unions. In the past, just as an example, when the unions wanted to push through binding arbitration or the evergreen situation, which is the contracts never end, you had people like Representative Anthony Giarrusso up there to say, no, I'm against that. You have less of that. He was replaced by a progressive. Senator G was also in the Senate that would say, no, I'm against that. Suddenly that is gone. What are we seeing now? A bonus goes out to the teachers, which is basically retired teachers get a bonus. That's to make up for the money taken with them with, quote, pension reform. And with the progressives cutting deals with labor, for instance, with the House, when they were voting on codifying Roe v. Wade, or they say codifying, I think it went beyond that, in the House of Representatives, what I am told is, for instance, like that Woonsocket Representative Morin, who's a connected, you know, firefighter, he was told by union representatives that they have cut deals, so vote yes with this with the progressives, because then the progressives block, the reformers, they're on board with all the unions as far as binding arbitration and evergreen, and really their wish list. Now is the time. What you're going to see, and this is frightening, but over the next window of 3 years, or certainly two, until the 2020 elections, that they feel that they have it's a free-for-all at the State House and to push this stuff through. So I think that is frightening. Of right now, Justin, I don't see anything that can stop it. At least if you had a Republican governor in Mayor Fung, you could have had someone use the bully pulpit. But boy, you know, the rest of the country, unions are taking a beating in the aftermath of the Supreme Court decision. But you would never know it in Rhode Island. They're stronger now than they've ever been, and I'll give you the final word.
Well, it's interesting that you raise that dynamic. I was thinking this week, the representative out here in Tiverton, John Edwards, who's, I believe at this point, the whip for Mattiello, he was one of the surprise votes on the committee that allowed the abortion bill to go forward.
Right.
People had thought he was pro-life and just completely flipped on that. And at the same, shortly thereafter, I'm on the Tiverton Town Council, and he was before us for just a pro forma meeting of elected officials. And I asked him about a bill he put in that guarantees a certain amount of overtime for firefighters if they work longer shifts than the standard. And his response was specifically, he said, this is a leadership bill. The Speaker of the House asked me to put this in, and we're doing it in order to push municipalities to get rid of this particular type of a system when they're negotiating. So they put in this bill specifically to give unions more leverage in their negotiations. And I went on to say, well, what happens if we negotiate a better deal, and the union, our local union, likes it. The firefighters like it. And 3 years from now, this legislation would prevent us from continuing with that. He said, "Well, you know what? You talk to your local fire union, and they'll put it. They'll put in legislation." And it was just such astonishingly honest response that, hey, if you want legislation, just go to your union, and they'll tell us to put it in, and we will. And so I think that really does start to click some pieces together when you realize that that's one of the surprise votes on the abortion bill, was this is now the alliance. You've got the unions and the progressives working together, and they know as long as they can keep that alliance going, they're going to run the table. And the rest of us can only kind of hope that some of the natural aversions, a lot of union members are actually very conservative, you know, people, and given their jobs, a lot of manual work, public safety, and so on. And often the progressive interests in, you know, controlling everybody's lives and restricting economic activity is not in the interest of the union. So we can only hope that that disrupts things before they do too much damage. But it is going to be a scary couple of years, I think.
I think it is. Folks, he's the managing editor of OceanStateCart.com, Justin Katz. Justin, great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again.
Likewise. Talk to you soon.
All right, folks, there it is. Justin, all right, right now, we are going to play high-low for tickets to see Phantom of the Opera. That's right. High-low, if you would like to win tickets to see Phantom of the Opera at the Providence Performing Arts Center, I have a pair of tickets for you and a guest. These are great seats. Call in right now, 401-766-1380. 401-766-1380. And we're going to play high-low. Now, it's very simple. I have a number written down between 1 and 50. 1 and 50. Now, if you are correct and you win the tickets, you will hear that. If you are incorrect, you will hear that. 766-1380. You know what? I just realized. Let me play. Everyone, bear with me. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment. But it's this week. For tickets, log on at 421... log on at ppacri.org. ppacri.org for tickets. And let me just play just a little bit of Phantom of the Opera, and then we're going to go right to your phone calls. And it's high-low. And again, folks, if someone guesses a number and I say, hey, that's too high, you want to guess lower than that. If someone guesses something and I say too low, you want to go higher than that. Oh, hold on. That thing is taking too long. Let me find it right here. Bear with me, everybody. It's one on a Monday. I might have it. All right, I'll go to this. Hold on. Phantom of the Opera soundtrack. All right, let's hear. I always like to play a little bit of the music. Never hurts. Gets people into the mood of the whole thing. The theme song. Yeah, let's try the theme song. Let me do this. And then we'll do that. And we'll do that. Hold on. Here we go. Here we go, folks. Phantom of the Opera at the PPAC. The Broadway sensation. Let me go into the song a little bit.
Inside your mind.
Phantom.
Those who have seen
the beautiful production. Phantom of the Opera at the PPAC. I saw this on Broadway. It really is incredible. You're going to love it at the PPAC. Phantom, 421 Arts for tickets. All right, let's go to our... let's see who's going to win the ticket, shall we? All right, 766-1380, 766-1380. We begin. Good afternoon. You're on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. What's your first name?
Diane.
Diane, have you ever seen Phantom of the Opera?
I have not.
Would you like to see Phantom of the Opera?
Oh, I would love to.
All right. Have you ever been to the Providence Performing Arts Center?
Oh, I have. Yes.
It's a beautiful theater, isn't it?
It is. It's gorgeous.
Now, you would use the tickets if I were to be generous enough to give them to you, Diane.
Absolutely.
All right. And you're enjoying the program this afternoon?
I am. I find it very informative. I get more information from your show.
Thank you.
Than anybody else's. Honestly.
Thank you very much. That's not an accident, by the way. I hear that from a lot of people.
I know.
So, all right, Diane, you're up first. Do you understand how to play the concept of high-low?
I do.
All right. So, Diane, what would be your guess for high-low?
33.
Now, 33, did Jeff tell you to say 33? How did you come up with 33? I find this very unusual.
I just decided, you know, sort of a little over the middle and maybe, I don't know. I just thought 33 was a good
one. But you didn't say 34, which I find very interesting. You settled on 33. Why is that?
Yes. I don't know. Well, I think my son's born on the 3rd. If you add 3 and 3,
that's
born
right.
in June.
But I know you didn't say 32 either, though. So you didn't say 34 or 32. You said 33, Diane.
Correct.
Am I correct in that?
Yes,
I am correct. 33 is a very good guess. It is. But unfortunately, 33 is too high. It's too high. 766-1380. 766-1380. My goodness. I'm doing a thesis on why she picked 33, for crying out loud. All right, 766-1380. Let's go back to the phones with High Low. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hello.
Who am I talking to?
Rick and Warwick.
Rick and Warwick. Why are we on speakerphone, Rick?
Because
are you calling me from the Grand Canyon?
No, I'm on Bluetooth.
Oh, you're on Bluetooth. Okay. All right. Do you understand the concept of High Low?
Yes.
Would you like to see Phantom of the Opera?
Yes.
Would you like to go to the PPAC?
Love to.
I'd love to. All right. What is your guess, high, low, for tickets to see the Phantom of the Opera at the Providence Performing Arts Center?
12.
12. Now, who told you to say 12? Did Jeff tell you to say 12? How did you come up with this? Now I'm suspicious.
No, he did.
He didn't. All right. 12 is a good guess. But the problem with 12 is 12 is too low. Too low. It's higher than 12. It's higher than 12. We're getting somewhere. 33 was too high. 12 was too low. We should call this game high-low, for crying out loud. No, it is high-low, as a matter of fact. All right. 33 too high. 12 too low. Someone's going to win the tickets. Back to the phones. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello. Hello there. Oh, goodness. It's your chance to win. Hello. All you have to do, what is your guess for high-low? You're next. Go right ahead. Now, we had 33 was too high, and 12... Oh, is this Dion calling in again? 12 is too low. So what is your guess for high-low? Oh, all right. All right, we're going to come back to the game in just a moment. Looks like somebody dozed off because we have our friend Sal from Metro by T-Mobile is calling in the game. Good morning. Good afternoon, Sal.
108, John.
No, you can't play. You can't play. Oh. That's too high anyway, for crying out loud. Oh. You right. Funny man, you. So go right ahead. The sun is shining. People are picking March Madness games. And the way to do it is if you have an app on your phone, you can follow all the action, but only if you go see Sal with Metro by T-Mobile.
That's right, because right now at Metro by T-Mobile, $60 a month, unlimited everything, unlimited talk, text,
that is incredible.
And the best part, wait for it, unlimited Amazon Prime access, gives you unlimited movie watching with Amazon Prime. You get the 2-day shipping, which Amazon Prime is known for, the unlimited music, all the discounts that Amazon Prime you get with Amazon Prime, you're going to get with us, all for $60 a month. If you had to get this separately, on your own, separate from us, it would cost you over $100 a year. $60 in, unlimited everything, talk, text, data, and unlimited Amazon Prime when you make the switch. Glenn came in this morning. He was having issues listening to you. I helped him out on his phone, showed him a couple of things on his phone, but he made the switch from Verizon. Prime. Glenn came in, so a lot of people have been making the switch, coming in to make the switch to Metro by T-Mobile. This is a great opportunity. I'm so easy to find. I'm in Johnson. I'm right next to Johnson Town Hall. If you know what Town Hall is, you know where I am because I'm right next door.
That is exactly right. It's almost like you're next door.
It's almost like I'm...
No, you are next door.
Here I am. There you are. Well, yes, I am next door. You're over there. I'm over here.
That's exactly right. All right, folks, stop in and see Sal. Thank you, Sal. Sal and Metro by T-Mobile. All right, let's get back to our game. Who's going to win the tickets? Who? I don't know who. I'm not an owl, for crying out loud. All right, back to the phones. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, Mr. Excitement. What's your first name?
Chris.
Chris, are we on speakerphone?
No.
Sure sounds like we're on speakerphone.
I'm in an empty room.
You're in an empty room. Why are you in an empty room?
Cleaning up for rental.
Cleaning up for rental. All right, Chris, have you ever seen Phantom of the Opera?
I have not.
Would you like to see the Phantom of the Opera?
I would love to.
All right. Have you ever been to the Providence Performing Arts Center?
I have.
All right. If someone wanted to call for tickets to the Providence Performing Arts Center, I've been giving the box office number. What is the phone number?
221-9906?
It's 421-ARTS. 421-ARTS.
421-ARTS.
Yeah. That's all right. That's not part of it. All right. Do you understand the concept of high-low?
Yes.
All right. Now, have you heard what the high guess was?
I have.
Have you heard what the low guess is?
Yes.
All right. So now, well, then you're keeping us in suspense. What is the guess of Chris, who's in an empty room?
28.
Now, who told you 28? Did Jeff tell you to say 28? Who told you that?
No.
I find this very unusual that you suddenly blurred out 28.
My birthday, the 28th.
Oh, all right. Well, happy birthday. No, it's not your birthday. 28 is a good guess. The only problem is 28. It's too high. 28 is too high. Back to the phones. 766-1380. That's what Brandy Graff was when she crashed into another drunk driver. Too high. 766-1380. Back to the phones. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. Who might I be speaking with first name?
George.
George. All right. And George, have you ever seen Phantom of the Opera?
Yes, I have.
You have? Well, then why don't you give someone else a chance to see the Phantom of the Opera? Is this Curious George? You're selfish, George, for crying out loud.
This is a brand new production.
Because it's a...
Because
you want to go. All right. Browser. All right. Hey, I said... All right. What is your guess for high-low selfish George?
18.
Now, who told you to say 18?
No one.
No one did. I think that's very interesting. 18 is a good guess, but 18... too high. 18 is too high. 766-1380. 766-1380. We're going to have a winner. I know we're going to have a winner. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hi, John. I'm Chris.
Hi there, Chris. Now, have you already called?
You already called.
Come on, you guys. We got Selfish George and three times is the charm Chris. 766-1380. 766-1380. A lot of skin flints. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi there. What's your first name?
Bob.
Bob, did you already call?
No, I didn't.
All right. Have you ever been to the PPAC?
Yes.
You have? Mm-hmm. All right. Would you like the tickets for Phantom of the Opera?
Sure.
It's a wonderful musical, Bob. You can't deny that.
Right.
Are you denying that?
No, I'm not denying it. I heard it was wonderful, yeah.
All right. What is your guess for high-low?
I'm going to say 19.
19 is a very good guess. The only problem is 19 is too high. 19 is too high. 766-1380. I'm very confident we are about to have a winner. 766-1380. 766-1380. Someone's going to win the tickets. Someone's going to win the tickets. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Now, John, it was months ago when I called in.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go again. Nope. I want to get someone new. Oh, my goodness. Oh, all right. 766-1380. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Well, good afternoon, sir. Let's see if I'm lucky.
You've already won on the show.
No, I haven't.
I'm giving someone else a chance. 766-1380. 766-1380. He won a couple months ago. I dreamed I heard a female voice. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Well, it wasn't Gina because she's out of the state.
Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hold on. Slow down. What's your first name?
Claire.
Claire. All right. Claire, are you enjoying the program?
I enjoy you every day.
Thank you. Did you have corned beef yesterday on St. Patrick's Day?
Absolutely.
Oh, you did? All right. How was it?
Fabulous.
All right. Now, for high-low, what is your guess for the tickets to Phantom of the Opera? Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a hint because I want to give this away. We said 12 was too low.
Yeah.
And we said 18 was too high. So if I were a betting man, I would guess a number between 13 and 17. But that's me. Now go right ahead for the tickets to Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, God. Can I
13 to 17.
14.
14 is exactly right. Congratulations.
No kidding.
She has won.
OMG.
How about that?
I love it.
You are going.
Thank you.
Nice of me to give you the tickets.
It is less than I expect from you, sir.
All right. Well, hold on the line. Do not hang up. Do not hang up. Claire has won the tickets. She'll be enjoying Phantom of the Opera. Phantom. Of the Opera. That's exactly right. Let's hear a little bit more of Phantom.
A harper can be free if you ever find a moment.
Just think of me.
Spare all thought for me.
Beautiful. Phantom of the Opera. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom. All right, for tickets for 421 Arts. Tickets 421 Arts. It's a beautiful show. Or log on ppacri.org. ppacri.org. All right, we'll have another pair of tickets tomorrow. Another pair of tickets tomorrow. Very, very generous. I know I'm very generous. But we will have another pair of tickets for you and a guest tomorrow right here on the John DePietro Show. I always think high-low is kind of an easy way to give things away. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. This is a nice song, though. This is not an easy song to sing. All right, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, we'll have another pair of tickets for you and a guest tomorrow right here on the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by Kay's. Lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge. Stop in to Kay's. The best corned beef you've ever had. Incredible pastrami. Steak sandwich. Everybody loves it. Stop in. They're waiting for you, for crying out loud, at Case. All right. 766-1380. Now, if you missed it, earlier we had on the mother of Lauren Isay, who was murdered in her Cranston home. And we had her mom in Cheryl Palazzo, who I admire greatly, showing such courage in trying to speak out and draw attention to domestic violence. It is just horrific with what is going on right now. And I also like the fact that her mom spoke out, that where are the government leaders? Where are the people speaking out? Where are some of the elected leaders that talk about, you know, women's rights and women's bodies, that, you know, we're spending so much time speaking about the right for third trimester abortion and birth legislation. And then when you have a situation of a 29-year-old girl is murdered in her own apartment and had been saying, telling anyone that would listen to her, he's going to kill me. And her ex-boyfriend is being held at the ACI. That, you know, and where's Governor Raimondo? Where are the rest of them? I mean, it's an absolute disgrace. It is. Folks, 766-1380. Now, we have a very special program tomorrow, which will be St. Joseph's Day. So very, very special day. Maybe some Zeppelas, what have you, but very special day tomorrow. Hey, did you see, you know what's trending right now?
This is funny. Hey, does anybody know how much Beto O'Rourke raised in the first 24 hours? That's funny. He raised $6.1 million. Did you see the, they call him the Egg Boy? So you have a senator in New Zealand who, he spoke out on the dangers of having all the Muslims in, the Muslims in New Zealand. And so Egg Boy went up, and as the guy is talking, he, boom, cracked an egg right over his head. And the senator turned around without any caution and, boom, and punched the kid that did it. And it has absolutely gone viral all over the place. And now they even have a mural to him called Egg Boy. And it's a huge, huge story. If you've seen it, it then resulted in a huge fisticuffs in New Zealand. The kid is filming himself, and he goes right over and cracks an egg right on the guy, right on the senator that spoke out. And apparently he's not particularly well-liked, which is why then a number of different individuals were commending Egg Boy for hitting Fraser Anning is the name of the senator. Now, big news locally is Raimondo has picked a new education commissioner. And what a surprise. She's made history. The first Latino woman. So, again, another pick, all in an attempt to just try to make history. Good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live. Again, earlier we had on Cheryl Palazzo, mother of Lauren Issei, on Facebook Live, and it will also be podcasted later on WNRI.com under John DePietro Podcast.
He's John DePietro. He's really in the know with his talk show on your radio. He's John DePietro. Tune in your radio. Go get him, Johnny D.
All right, folks, listen, enjoy this Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11. A big St. Patrick's, St. Joseph celebration. Stay tuned. The Dion Experience is next. It's John DePietro. And again, if you log on at WNRI.com, you can hear the interview with the mother of Lauren Issei, the young woman who was murdered in her own apartment, Bayview Avenue, last week. Despite pleas for the police and the courts to help her, no one did anything. We're back tomorrow at 11.
RI and W236CW Woonsocket, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.